Chapter 137. Concerning the mendicant's bride, the impressive gloom with which Mrs. Wilfer received her husband on his return from the wedding, knocked so hard at the door of the cherubic conscience, and likewise so impaired the firmness of the cherubic legs, that the culprit's tottering condition of mind and body might have roused suspicion in less occupied persons, that the grimly heroic lady, Miss Lavinia, and that esteemed friend of the family, Mr. George Sampson. But, the attention of all three, being fully possessed by the main fact of the marriage, they had happily none to bestow on the guilty conspirator, to which fortunate circumstance he owed the escape for which he was in no wise indebted to himself. You do not, R.W. said Mrs. Wilfer from her stately corner, inquire for your daughter Bella. Apostrophe, to be sure, my dear, apostrophe he returned. With a most flagrant assumption of unconsciousness, I did omit it. How, or perhaps I should rather say, where is Bella? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not here, apostrophe, Mrs. Wilfer proclaimed, with folded arms. The cherub faintly muttered something to the abortive effect of, oh, indeed, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, not here, apostrophe, repeated Mrs. Wilfer, in a stern, sonorous voice. In a word, R.W., you have no daughter Bella. Apostrophe, no daughter Bella, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no. Your daughter Bella, apostrophe, said Mrs. Wilfer, with a lofty air of never having had the least co-partnership in that young lady, of whom she now made reproachful mention as an article of luxury which her husband had set up entirely on his own account, and in direct opposition to her advice. Apostrophe, your daughter Bella has bestowed herself upon a mendicant. Apostrophe, good gracious, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, show your father his daughter Bella's letter, Lavinia, apostrophe, said Mrs. Wilfer, in her monotonous act of parliament tone, and waving her hand. I think your father will admit it to be documentary proof of what I tell him. I believe your father is acquainted with his daughter Bella's writing, but I do not know. He may tell you he is not. Nothing will surprise me. Apostrophe, posted at Greenwich, and dated this morning, apostrophe, said the irrepressible, flouncing at her father in handing him the evidence. Hopes ma won't be angry, but is happily married to Mr. John Rokesmith, and didn't mention it beforehand to avoid words, and please tell darling you, and love to me, and I should like to know what you'd have said, if any other unmarried member of the family had done it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he read the letter, and faintly exclaimed, dear me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you may well say, dear me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, rejoined Mrs. Wilfer, in a deep tone. Upon which encouragement he said it again, though scarcely with the success he had expected. For the scornful lady then remarked, with extreme bitterness, you said that before. Apostrophe, it's very surprising. But I suppose, my dear, apostrophe, hinted the cherub, as he folded the letter after a disconcerting silence, that we must make the best of it? Would you object to my pointing out, my dear, that Mr. John Rokesmith is not, so far as I am acquainted with him, strictly speaking, a mendicant? Apostrophe, indeed? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Wilfer, with an awful air of politeness. Truly so? I was not aware that Mr. John Rokesmith was a gentleman of landed property. But I am much relieved to hear it. Apostrophe, I doubt if you have heard it, my dear, apostrophe, the cherub submitted with hesitation. Thank you, apostrophe, said Mrs. Wilfer. I make false statements, it appears. So be it. If my daughter flies in my face, surely my husband may. The one thing is not more unnatural than the other. There seems a fitness in the arrangement. By all means. Apostrophe, assuming, with a shiver of resignation, a deadly cheerfulness. But, here the irrepressible skirmished into the conflict, dragging the reluctant form of Mr. Sampson after her. Ma, apostrophe interposed the young lady, I must say I think it would be much better if you would keep to the point and not hold forth about people's flying into people's faces, which is nothing more nor less than impossible nonsense. Apostrophe, how? Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mrs. Wilfer, knitting her dark brows. Just impossible nonsense, ma, apostrophe, returned Lavi, and George Sampson knows it is, as well as I do. Apostrophe, Mrs. Wilfer, suddenly becoming petrified, fixed her indignant eyes upon the wretched George, who, divided between the support due from him to his love, and the support due from him to his love's mama, supported nobody, not even himself. The true point is, apostrophe, pursued Lavinia, that Bella has behaved in a most unsisterly way to me, and might have severely compromised me with George, and with George's family, by making off, and getting married in this very low and disreputable manner with some pew opener or other, I suppose, for a bridesmaid when she ought to have confided in me, and ought to have said, if, Lavi, you consider it due to your engagement with George, that you should countenance the occasion by being present, then Lavi, I beg you to be present, keeping my secret from Ma and Pa, as of course I should have done. Apostrophe, as of course you would have done? Ingrate! Apostrophe, exclaimed Mrs. Wilfer. Viper! Apostrophe, I say. You know, ma'am. Upon my honor you mustn't, apostrophe, Mr. Sampson remonstrated, shaking his head seriously, with the highest respect for you, ma'am, upon my life you mustn't. No, really, you know. When a man with the feelings of a gentleman finds himself engaged to a young lady, and it comes even on the part of a member of the family, to vipers, you know. I would merely put it to your own good feeling, you know, apostrophe, said Mr. Sampson, in rather lame conclusion. Mrs. Wilfer's billful stare at the young gentleman in acknowledgement of his obliging interference was of such a nature, that Miss Lavinia burst into tears, and caught him round the neck for his protection. My own unnatural mother, apostrophe, screamed the young lady, wants to annihilate George. But you shan't be annihilated, George. I'll die first. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Sampson, in the arms of his mistress, still struggled to shake his head at Mrs. Wilfer, and to remark, with every sentiment of respect for you, you know, ma'am, vipers really doesn't do you credit. Apostrophe, you shall not be annihilated, George. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Miss Lavinia. Ma shall destroy me first, and then she'll be contented. Oh, oh, oh! Have I lured George from his happy home, to expose him to this? George, dear, be free. Leave me, ever dearest George, to my and to my fate. Give my love to your aunt, George dear, and implore her not to curse the viper that has crossed your path, and blighted your existence. Oh, oh, oh! Apostrophe, the young lady who, hysterically speaking, was only just come of age, and had never gone off yet, here fell into a highly creditable crisis, which, regarded as a first performance, was very successful. Mr. Sampson, bending over the body meanwhile, in a state of distraction, which induced him to address Mrs. Wilfer in the inconsistent expressions. Demon, with the highest respect for you, behold your work. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the cherub stood helplessly rubbing his chin and looking on, but on the whole, was inclined to welcome this diversion as one in which, by reason of the absorbent properties of hysterics, the previous question would become absorbed. And so, indeed, it proved, for the irrepressible gradually coming to herself, and asking with wild emotion, George dear, are you safe? Apostrophe, apostrophe, and further, George love, what has happened? Where is Ma? Apostrophe, Mr. Sampson, with words of comfort, raised her prostrate form, and handed her to Mrs. Wilfer, as if the young lady were something in the nature of refreshments. Mrs. Wilfer, with dignity partaking of the refreshments, by kissing her once on the brow as if accepting an oyster, Miss Lavi, tottering, returned to the protection of Mr. Sampson, to whom she said, George, dear, I am afraid I have been foolish, but I am still a little weak and giddy. Don't let go my hand, George. ... And whom she afterwards greatly agitated at intervals, by giving utterance, when least expected, to a sound between a sob and a bottle of soda water that seemed to rend the bosom of her frock. Among the most remarkable effects of this crisis may be mentioned its having, when peace was restored, an inexplicable moral influence, of an elevating kind, on Miss Lavinia, Mrs. Wilfer, and Mr. George Sampson, from which R.W. was altogether excluded, as an outsider and non-sympathizer. Miss Lavinia assumed a modest air of having distinguished herself. Mrs. Wilfer, a serene air of forgiveness and resignation. Mr. Sampson, an air of having been improved and chastened. The influence pervaded the spirit in which they returned to the previous question. George, dear, ... said Lavi, with a melancholy smile, after what has passed, I am sure Ma will tell Pa, that he may tell Bella we shall all be glad to see her and her husband. ... Mr. Sampson said he was sure of it too, murmuring how eminently he respected Mrs. Wilfer, and ever must, and ever would. Never more eminently, he added, than after what had passed. Far be it from me, ... said Mrs. Wilfer, making deep proclamation from her corner, to run counter to the feelings of a child of mine, and of a youth. ... Mr. Sampson hardly seemed to like that word, who is the object of her maiden preference. I may feel, nay, know that I have been deluded and deceived. I may feel, nay, know that I have been set aside and passed over. I may feel, nay, know that after having so far overcome my repugnance towards Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, as to receive them under this roof, and to consent to your daughter Bella's, ... here turning to her husband, residing under theirs, it were well if your daughter Bella, ... again turning to her husband, had profited in a worldly point of view by a connection so distasteful, so disreputable. I may feel, nay, know that in uniting herself to Mr. Oaksmith she has united herself to one who is, in spite of shallow sophistry, a mendicant. And I may feel well assured, that your daughter Bella, ... again turning to her husband, does not exalt her family, by becoming a mendicant's bride. But I suppress what I feel, and say nothing of it. ... Mr. Sampson murmured, that this was the sort of thing you might expect from one who had ever in her own family been an example, and never an outrage. And evermore, so Mr. Sampson added, with some degree of obscurity, and never more so, than in and through what had passed. He must take the liberty of adding, that what was true of the mother, was true of the youngest daughter, and that he could never forget the touching feelings, that the conduct of both had awakened within him. In conclusion, he did hope, that there wasn't a man with a beating heart who was capable of something that remained undescribed, in consequence of Miss Lavinia stopping him as he reeled in his speech. Therefore, R.W. said Mrs. Wilfer, resuming her discourse and turning to her lord again, let your daughter Bella come when she will, and she will be received. So, ... after a short pause, and an air of having taken medicine in it, so will her husband. ... And I beg, Pa, ... said Lavinia, that you will not tell Bella what I have undergone. It can do no good, and it might cause her to reproach herself. ... My dearest girl, urged Mr. Sampson, she ought to know it. No, George, said Lavinia, in a tone of resolute self-denial. No, dearest George, let it be buried in oblivion. Mr. Sampson considered that, too noble. Nothing is too noble, dearest George, returned Lavinia. And Pa, I hope you will be careful, not to refer before Bella, if you can help it, to my engagement to George. It might seem like reminding her of her having cast herself away. And I hope, Pa, that you will think it equally right to avoid mentioning George's rising prospects, when Bella is present. It might seem like taunting her with her own poor fortunes. Let me ever remember that I am her younger sister, and ever spare her painful contrasts, which could not but wound her sharply. Apostrophe, Mr. Sampson expressed his belief that such was the demeanor of angels. Miss Lavey replied with solemnity, No, dearest George, I am but too well aware that I am merely human. Apostrophe, Mrs. Wilfer, for her part, still further improved the occasion by sitting with her eyes fastened on her husband, like two great black notes of interrogation, severely inquiring, Are you looking into your breast? Do you deserve your blessings? Can you lay your hand upon your heart and say that you are worthy of so hysterical a daughter? I do not ask you if you are worthy of such a wife, put me out of the question, but are you sufficiently conscious of and thankful for the pervading moral grandeur of the family spectacle on which you are gazing? These inquiries proved very harassing to R.W., who, besides being a little disturbed by wine, was in perpetual terror of committing himself by the utterance of stray words that would betray his guilty foreknowledge. However, the scene being over, and all things considered well over, he sought refuge in a doze, which gave his lady immense offense. Can you think of your daughter Bella, and sleep? She disdainfully inquired. To which he mildly answered, Yes, I think I can, my dear. Then, said Mrs. Wilfer, with solemn indignation, I would recommend you, if you have a human feeling, to retire to bed. Thank you, my dear, he replied. I think it is the best place for me. And with these unsympathetic words very gladly withdrew. Within a few weeks afterwards, the mendicant's bride, arm in arm with the mendicant, came to tea, in fulfillment of an engagement made through her father. And the way in which the mendicant's bride dashed at the unassailable position so considerately, to be held by Miss Lavey, and scattered the whole of the works in all directions in a moment, was triumphant. Dearest Ma, cried Bella, running into the room with a radiant face, How do you do, dearest Ma? And then embraced her, joyously. And Lavey, darling, how do you do, and how's George Sampson, and how is he getting on, and when are you going to be married, and how rich are you going to grow? You must tell me all about it, Lavey dear, immediately. John, love, kiss my Aunt Lavey, and then we shall all be at home and comfortable. Mrs. Wilfer stared, but was helpless. Miss Lavinia stared, but was helpless. Apparently with no compunction, and assuredly with no ceremony, Bella tossed her bonnet away, and sat down to make the tea. Dearest Ma and Lavey, you both take sugar, I know. And Pa, you good little Pa, you don't take milk. John does. I didn't before I was married, but I do now, because John does. John dear, did you kiss Ma and Lavey? Oh, you did. Quite correct, John dear. But I didn't see you do it, so I asked. Cut some bread and butter, John. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.